Blog Talk Radio.
Start off a Wednesday night BAMS radio show. Good evening, everybody. I am Thomas the Rock Watts, and I will be your host for the evening. We are very glad to have you with us. We have a very busy show coming up. Chris Dodson, an aspiring writer for BamaHammer.com, will be joining us in about a half hour. And then at 9, our good friend Legend will take us over to the island, and we'll get Legend's take on the Crimson Tide. But until then, you're here with me and Carrie Clark. Carrie, how you doing this evening?
Doing well, Thomas. Good to be here.
Glad to hear it. For the first hour, when Chris isn't on, we're just going to be catching up on Bama football news. There's a big scrimmage that, Carrie, I believe you had the privilege of attending last Saturday?
Correct.
And we have to discuss the Geno Smith problem, but I don't really want to spend too much time on that. And we've got a little bit of basketball news. But first off, I really want to hear about the scrimmage. My mother was actually able to go. She is a member of the Red Elephant Club. So the dinner table that night was all of her impressions. So I've gotten that. But I want your impressions, Carrie. Last week, you had said that the offensive line just didn't look very good. The second team offensive line. I guess my first question is, did you get a different impression from this scrimmage, or is it still rough around the edges?
Rough around the edges, to the point that during the scrimmage, the right tackle was Ari Quanjo and the left guard was Austin Shepherd. They have since flip-flopped them back to the positions they practiced at all spring based on the grading of the film of the scrimmage Saturday. So that was a very short-lived experiment. R.E. is back at left guard by his brother Cyrus, and Austin is back at right tackle. And there was not a lot of push in the running game Saturday.
That's not a good thing to hear with kickoff 10 days away. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to talk, get into the conversation, give us a call at 714-510-3707, and I will get you online as fast as possible. Carrie, let's just keep going with the scrimmage. Can you just give us your general impressions? You know, what did you see? What stood out as good? What stood out as bad? I know you'd already mentioned, we already brought up the offensive line, but what else did you see?
Well, I'd say most of the good things were on the defensive side of the ball. At the time of the scrimmage, Geno Smith was still the number one guy at the star position, the nickelback. And everybody in the stands was trying to figure out why Jeffrey Pagan wasn't playing and why Dalvin Thomason was running with the ones at defensive end. But you know, we later learned out that Pagan had a very minor injury, which he's since returned from and returned to the first unit. There's a couple of guys that I wanted to see how they would do that impressed me. I'm always impressed with Derrick Henry. There was a particular play where he caught a screen pass on about the 5-yard line and turned upfield and trucked someone who I won't name at the goal line, but that person knows who they are. There was another play where Alti Tenpenny, who is really beginning to establish himself as someone who would not redshirt, had on a rare play where there was a running lane, he cut upfield and after maybe 6 or 7 yards down the field, out of nowhere came a blur known as number two, Reuben Foster, and he laid Tenpenny out. I mean, I don't even know how he got up. It was just a great hit, one of the kinds that draws oohs and ahs from the people that are in attendance. So also was watching O.J. Howard. He did have a couple of bright moments where he, you know, was able to get open and score, particularly around the goal line. I think he'll be a weapon down there. It was interesting to note that was the first day that Brandon Green swapped from number 58 to number 89, as has now been widely reported. But people were asking, who's 89? I said, well, it's got to be Brandon Green. And we later learned that it was the newest member of the tight end corps and the guy who single-handedly sent LaMichael Fanning back to the defensive end corps, where LaMichael is now running with the second unit for the most part. But the kicking game was fine. There was one particular for the most part, it was fine. No complaints. It was interesting to see that, you know, D. Hart seems to be the primary punt returner. And the kickoff return personnel is basically what it was last year, which is Christian Jones running and Kevin Norwood blocking for him out front. All in all, it wasn't a great day for the offense. AJ was up. They listed him 15 for 30. That does sound about right. Blake Sims was erratic. Saban told the media afterwards that he threw three interceptions, which I would agree with. So not really revealing anything there. But at the same time, Blake Sims is clearly the number two quarterback now. He sometimes makes bad decisions throwing the ball, but he apparently knows the playbook better than anybody else there, so he is the number two guy right now. Cade Foster looked good. Adam Griffith looked okay. It's interesting to note that when Cade Foster kicks, the holder is AJ, and when Adam Griffith kicks, the holder is Vinny Sinceri. Cole Mazza was very solid. The best thing you can say about a long snapper is you never notice him, and nobody noticed him. All the snaps were timely and on the money. And all in all, a good overall day. Certainly would like to see some improvement in the offensive line, but you know, I think I've said this in years past, and those offensive lines turned out to be just fine once the real games began. So I certainly saw a team that had a ton of talent out there, two deep at every position and three deep at some.
Well, that's good to hear. That's kind of what my mother and some of the group down from the Baldwin County Red Elephant Club. That's the impression they gave me when I had a chance to speak to them. Anything else from the scrimmage? Anything that, you know, any freshmen that really caught your eye? I know you'd mentioned Derrick Henry and Reuben Foster.
As he reported on Twitter, so I'm not breaking anything here, but as he accurately reported on Twitter, true freshman Maurice Smith had a 104-yard interception return for a touchdown. So that was pretty cool to see that. He caught it 4 yards deep and took it to the house on the other end of the stadium. So Maurice is looking like a guy who's not going to redshirt. Grant Hill is running with the twos at left tackle. He's looking like a guy who's not going to redshirt. There was, I mentioned Tenpenny, I mentioned Reuben Foster, right. I mentioned O.J. I was impressed with Robert Foster. Robert caught several passes. A lot of them were when the threes went against the threes, but not all of them. At least one was when he was playing for the second team. That's probably about it. I mean, it was pretty clear. I've got a very good idea of what the depth chart's going to look like when they pass it out Monday morning to the media.
Okay. And just for fans, when Red Elephant Club members are allowed to see scrimmages, they can't technically talk about it. Definitely can't take pictures. Can't take video, I believe. So,
right.
So that's why you're hearing Kerry say, you know, I'm not breaking this. It's actually a pretty big deal. So just to listeners, take everything with a grain of salt. Alabama looks good. I'm glad to hear what you've reported, Kerry, and thank you very much for it. I guess we'll talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and we'll talk Geno Smith.
Is that what it is this week?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Apparently, we recruit lots of 800-pound gorillas to sit in rooms to talk about.
Last week, it was Trey Dupree.
Yeah, this is true. Apparently, Alabama now leads for the Fulmer Cup, which I find very facepalm worthy, but who knows? There's still plenty of time for Auburn and or any of our other rivals to usurp Alabama's top spot. Anyway, that being said, Geno Smith was unfortunately arrested for a DUI on Saturday night, and he has been suspended for the first game. Part of me wants to say, oh, it's just kids being kids, and it is only one game, but I can't just let the young man off that easy. That's a really stupid choice that could have scary consequences. So, I shake my finger at you, Mr. Smith, even though you're, 20 and you can make mistakes. But anyway, on the field, he won't be around for the Virginia Tech game. He will be back for the Texas A&M game on September the 14th. So I guess, what is Alabama going to miss and who's his replacement? I believe I read that Jarek Williams has been running in Geno Smith's spot. Help me out on that one, please, Kerry.
You're correct. And the irony about Jarek Williams running at the nickel spot is this time a year ago, Jarek had won that job. He was going to open the season as the nickel, and then he got hurt. So, ironically, he did not get to open the season as the nickel. But Jarek is a very well-schooled person in the Nick Saban Kirby Smart defensive playbook. He knows the coverages. He knows where to be, when to be there. A very, really, under-the-radar type of player. But the one time he had a chance to play the nickel the whole game, which was the bowl game following the 2010 season against Michigan State, Jarek did a fine job that day. So we know he can play. He's a good football player and a smart football player and an experienced practice player more so than game player, but he's been in some games. As far as what Alabama's going to miss, well, they're going to miss a starter, but at the same time, and probably if you line Geno and Jarek up in the 40-yard dash, maybe Geno would beat him by, I don't know, less than a tenth of a second, but he's probably a little bit faster than Jarek. But if Geno was going to miss a game, this was the one to miss. I'm very thankful for the fact that this was Geno's first offense in over a year on campus, 13, 14 months on campus, because if it had been his second or third offense, he would have missed more than one game. But there's a strict set of guidelines as to what your discipline is. Coach Saban doesn't like us to use the word punishment. So in following with his wishes, there's a strict set of rules as to what your discipline is for whatever offense you commit and whatever number of offenses you've committed in the past. His pass was zero. So he's only going to miss one game, which is fortunate for him and for Alabama. Now, sadly for Geno, the game he's missing is being played in his hometown of Atlanta. So you hate that for the kid. But then again, he played there against Georgia last December and did fine that day as well. And I got a funny feeling they'll let Geno attend the game and maybe even stand on the sidelines in sweatpants and his jersey. But he won't dress out and he won't play. He will dress out and he will play at Texas A&M. And it'll depend on what happens in the two-week period between Virginia Tech and Texas A&M as to whether it's Geno Smith or Jarek Williams at the nickel when Alabama goes against Johnny Football and company.
Well, assuming Johnny Football plays, but I do not want to touch that absurdity anymore.
I'm assuming that he will.
I agree with you, but if I'm about Johnny Manziel'd out until September the 14th.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, absolutely. There is a question from the chat room, and this one, I must say, I am stumped. King of Twitter writes, has Alabama ever played a JUCO quarterback? I can't remember one, but I there are obviously holes in my knowledge. Can you remember, Kerry, an Alabama quarterback coming from JUCO to start?
No.
Asked and answered.
There may have been one under Shula. I forgot his last name. His first name was Mark. He was a god-awful quarterback. He only started one game, to my knowledge, South Carolina, at home. Mark something. I want to say he played his freshman year somewhere and then went to a JUCO and then came to Bama. But I don't even remember Mark's last name. He was that bad of a player. But maybe he may have had a year at a junior college, but I'm not even 100% sure about that. He may not. I think he was a guy that had been at Miami for a year, and then he left there, and I want to say he played a year of junior college, and then came to Tuscaloosa for a year, and he was awful. I don't even remember his last name. You may know what I'm talking about. Mark was his first name. He was I think he was a lefty, and he was there under Shula. But to my knowledge, he only started one game at Alabama and didn't even finish that game.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm a little ashamed of myself, and I'm trying to find it on the internet, but
so I don't think you'll find it.
I cannot find anything. So
bad.
King of Twitter, well done. You have stumped Carrie and I. Any other listeners, if you know this kid's name, give us a call at 714-510-3707 and let us know. Oh, Mark. Oh, gosh. I'm going to butcher it. Mark Gillen?
Yeah, Gillen.
There you go. Okay.
Shout out to RTR1 year at junior college.
Well, big shout out to RTR1 in chat for providing us with that. I honestly had no clue, and I'm a little ashamed.
Those are years that I try to forget if I can.
I can't say I disagree. Well, anyway, it's about 8:15, and we expect a guest to come on around 8:30. So let's take a quick break, and let's kick some scheduling around on the flip side. Again, like I just said, if you want to join us, number 714-510-3707, and we'd love to hear from you. We will be right back on another Wednesday edition of BAMS Radio.
So, what makes BAMS Tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tents for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy or call 251-247-1169 to order.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. It's 8:19 by my clock. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Before the break, I had mentioned we're going to go SEC scheduling. The SEC announced the 2014 football schedule as of today, and there's a confusion. That would be the best way for me to put it. Alabama's SEC slate begins September the 20th when Florida comes to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Now, the more clever fans among us will realize that Alabama just finished their home-and-home series with Florida in 2011, which, by putting them back on the schedule, you skip South Carolina, and particularly you skip Georgia. I personally think that the 9-game SEC conference schedule is inevitable. I feel like the SEC will be pressured into it
by the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC going to a nine-game schedule. And I feel like this schedule is kind of a setting the table because it kind of throws out the convention. Carrie, what do you think about this schedule? I have to say that the Florida thing caught me completely by surprise.
Well, it didn't me because Cecil Hurt's been predicting it would be Florida for 3 months now, and I read him on Twitter on a daily basis, so I took him at his word. My thoughts on it are that if I'm Will Muschamp, I'm kind of chomping at the bit to come to Bryant-Denny against an untested quarterback. It's by far the toughest new opponent. Florida annually has and will have, as long as Will is there, one of the better defenses in the league. Not sure how far along Jeff Driscoll will be, but he's a guy that has the potential to get better every year he's there as Florida's quarterback. Alabama has, in recent years, done well at Bryant-Denny, specifically 05 and 10 against Florida, but it's a whole new situation coming up, and it's certainly one of the games that people will have circled as, you know, a game that could go either way.
Absolutely. I hadn't been reading Cecil Hurt, so it was a surprise to me. And you're right. Alabama will have an untested quarterback, and very much so, unfortunately. It is the first SEC game. Alabama does have West Virginia in the opener, so the defense will be tested, but it remains to be seen how the offense will look. I think that Brent Peace said it best, though, the Florida offensive coordinator. He was a little bent out of shape because Florida plays at Alabama and hosts LSU in the same season. I totally understand both sides, both schools of thought of that's just kind of what you get and it's not fair because that's a tough road to hoe. But I guess that's just how it goes in the SEC. The SEC is always going to be brutal as long as these programs are funneling so much money and recruiting at such a high level. So I'm a little ambivalent. I did just notice that Arkansas plays Texas A&M in Dallas, which will be an interesting game, even though Arkansas will get stomped, even if Johnny Manziel's not there. But are there any other highlights, anything else that jumped out at you about the 2014 SEC slate for anybody, Alabama included?
I didn't honestly look at anybody else's but Alabama's. There appears to be a date Alabama would like to fill that is not a full schedule, and that specific date is September 27th. By filling that date with some out-of-conference, probably cream puff at Bryant-Denny, it will still give Alabama buys before Florida and before LSU, and that is about as much as you're going to be able to hope for if you're an Alabama fan.
I had not noticed that, but that's very true. Looking at Alabama's schedule, for fans that don't know, I can just run through it. On Alabama's SEC schedule, Florida comes to Bryant-Denny September the 20th. Alabama goes to Ole Miss October the 4th. They go to Arkansas October the 11th. Alabama hosts Texas A&M on the 18th. They go to Neyland Stadium at Tennessee on the 25th. Alabama goes to LSU on November the 8th. They host Mississippi State and host Auburn at the end of the year, November the 15th and November the 29th for those two games. So looking at the schedule just as a fan, I think there's some intriguing road games. I think there's some intriguing home games, and I'm okay with this schedule. So, but that's a really good point about the two bye weeks. Because looking, again, at the schedule, Florida and LSU are definitely the two toughest games on the schedule. And extra time to repair or extra time to heal, very good thing.
Definitely.
Absolutely. We are expecting, as I've mentioned a couple of times, Chris Dodson from BamaHammer.com to join us in the next 5 minutes. But lines are open if you'd want to join in, ask us a question. I got stumped once tonight already by our good friend King of Twitter in the chat. The number is 714-510-3707, and Carrie and I would absolutely love to hear from you.
We sure would. In fact, if you have any more questions about the scrimmage, I'll be happy to answer those either on the phone or in the chat room. if you chat it, Thomas will read it to me and I'll answer it back. We don't have to shut off the scrimmage talk.
Absolutely.
If anything else to say, that if somebody has a specific question about it, I'll be happy to answer it.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a few minutes, so and I can hold Chris if he calls in the next couple of minutes. Let's shift gears because I'm pretty sure I told Chris we'd be focusing on football. Alabama basketball's European trip. It's been going back and forth, and we talked about it last week. Kerry, do you have any updates on the European trip for us?
Well,
or the trip to Europe, excuse me.
Yes, the trip ended with a record of 3 wins and 2 losses, and it ended with 2 losses in Paris, one of a 30-point blowout, and another a 4-point loss the final game of the trip, a situation in which Alabama had 2 3-pointers to tie the game and possibly put it in overtime and missed them both, then was forced to foul, and the French team made 1 of 2 free throws. So they lost their final game Saturday by 4. And I've watched a little bit of video from almost all the games. Overall impressions are that true freshman and summer enrollee Shannon Hale, 6'8", 230, is ready to help at power forward and could probably even sub for Rodney Cooper at small forward if need be. He can play either position. I was happy to see that Carl Engstrom has retained the ability to get an offensive rebound and go back up and put it in, something our inside players were missing for the most part last year, especially Musa. The three-point shooting seems to be improved, and not only Shannon Hale, but Rhett Nabasahan seems to have improved his three-point shooting. Trevor Relford has maintained his consistency there, and Levi Randolph can slash to the basket, but can also pull up and hit the three, which is going to be a big deal. The starting lineup in 3 of the 5 games is the one that I expect will open the season, and that's Trevor Relford at point guard, Levi Randolph at 2 guard, small forward Rodney Cooper, power forward Nick Jacobs, and center Carl Engstrom. I think that's the lineup that will go in most of the games, which is a departure from playing Cooper at power forward last year. That's probably about all the basketball the good folks in the chat room want to hear in this hour.
They're not howling quite yet, but I think they're getting to that point. But thank you very much for that update, Kerry. Looking forward to basketball season. It's going to be a good time, but it's time to talk football first. But speaking of football, from BamaHammer.com, we are proud to welcome Chris Dodson onto the air with us. Chris, you are live with Thomas and Kerry Clark. How are you doing this evening, my friend?
I am doing well, sir. How about you?
Great. It's the best time of year. I get to talk about Bama football to a bunch of fellow football crazies. So
I tell you what, when you emailed me about this, I definitely was looking forward to it. I hadn't talked about it all year, so definitely looking forward to this.
Absolutely. We are glad to accommodate. So before we jump into football, just tell us a little bit about Bama Hammer and what you do with the site and how our listeners can follow your coverage of the Crimson Tide.
Bama Hammer is one of the many sites on the Fan Site Network. We cover everything Alabama, not just football. We try to cover all sports, and basketball, baseball. But, of course, this time we're talking about football at this time. So we've got right now a practice report right now up on the website, as well as a couple other news and notes to get you ready for the Crimson Tide season. Once again, that's BamaHammer.com. I'm one of the writers up there, one of the many writers of BamaHammer.com that will be providing you coverage this football season and beyond. So I encourage everybody to go ahead and check it out. Once again, BamaHammer.com.
Well, I get the feeling I'm about to get a DM from the managing editor, Tony Breland, that you just gave a fabulous plug for the website. So well done there, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's just talk some football. I know you're a student, and this is just a personal thing. I'm an alumnus of the University of Alabama, so I'm kind of curious, what's the environment like with students coming back to class, and is football really starting to gin up, spin up, get people are starting to get excited on campus? Can you describe that environment?
I honestly can't go a day without somebody talking about the countdown, the kickoff, and You know, around this time, people are really anxious. I mean, I hear of friends taking planning trips to Texas A&M and to other games outside and going ahead and trying to get those tickets for the home games, which for some of those games is probably going to be in short supply. But the students around the campus are very, very excited. Of course, they just started class today. Many of the freshmen are trying to get their schedules in, but I'm sure they're just as pumped as the rest of the upperclassmen as well. So, yeah, the environment's fantastic up in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. Wouldn't have it any other way. So, you know, I've gotten the housekeeping out of the way. So let's talk about the team. What kind of prediction do you have? What do you see? Let's just go Virginia Tech first. Obviously, we've mentioned on the program the unfortunate the bad choice by Geno Smith and the suspension. Is that going to affect Alabama versus Virginia Tech? Do you see it changing the outcome that much?
Well, first of all, let me just say the decision by Geno Smith, I think, based on what Nick Saban said in his press conference, saying he was a good kid and all that, and he made a bad decision. True, it was probably one that could have done a number to somebody else, and that's a very dangerous charge, DUI, but honestly it was appropriate. But going back to the impact on the team, honestly, I don't see this affecting much. Right now, at this point, looking depth chart wise, I don't think it's going to affect. You may see a couple. I mean, Geno Smith's a very talented player. We all know that, seeing him his freshman year, especially against Georgia. But I think that you're going to see that position. It won't lack a lot. You'll see a couple probably instances where maybe the wide receiver breaks out on one and it'll be whoever's taking that spot. It'll be his fault to pull that weight. But I don't think it'll affect the game on a monumental scale.
Well, that's good to hear, and I don't know if you've happened to catch the beginning of the show, but our good friend who joins me on the radio every week, Kerry Clark, pretty much agreed with you. Kerry, you were saying that you might have a question for Chris. What you got for him?
Chris, I had a chance earlier today to speak to an Alabama alumni group in Atlanta, and their consternation was over the reshuffling that's going on the offensive line. Do you feel like it's finally over with and that Ari Quandro is going to stay at left guard and Austin Shepherd will stay at right tackle if they finally got the right five in the right five places?
I had actually discussed that with somebody last week with another group of people. But I think that about a week or two ago, I think it was kind of raising an eyebrow a little bit. Maybe some concern as to maybe this offensive line isn't as up to par as we may think it is. But I think finally the shuffling has kind of settled down a little bit. You may see some more shuffling after week one, once they face Virginia Tech, and maybe a couple weeks after that as they try to get to adjust and find the right balance. I know after the first scrimmage, Saban was not happy with one of the sides of the offensive line. It was very weak, and that was very concerning. So I think that's going to be something to definitely watch against the Hokies. That's going to be an interesting game. So.
Absolutely. Since we're on Virginia Tech, well, why don't you just give us a quick prediction on the game? I know we've kind of been hashing out Geno Smith and the offensive line. I know it's still 10 days out, and Virginia Tech players have been dropping like flies, but have you had a chance to scout them? Do you have any kind of leanings? I won't ask you for a score pick since it's so far away, but what are you thinking on that game?
I hadn't even think of a score anyway, so thank you for not asking that. I think the Hokies – They've been this kind of on and off team in the ACC. I remember, a couple, I think 3 years maybe, where they just failed out of the gate and then made this humongous comeback at the end of the season. But I just don't see a lot more consistency coming from coming from Frank Beamer teams anymore, and it's just not working. Frank Beamer's techniques are just not working in the ACC anymore. And, you know, honestly, if they're not going to be working in the ACC, it's not going to work against an SEC team, especially in a team like Alabama that I think, you know, of course, you got to be mindful of the special teams when you're talking about Frank Beamer. But I think on both sides of the ball, you've got to favor Alabama on either side. I don't see this game being very close. It will be an interesting one to see for maybe a couple quarters, but I don't think by the second half this game will be already wrapped in the bag.
Well, that's definitely going to be something that we'll be looking on Bama Hammer for a scattering report or something. I don't know if you're going to be writing it. I'm sure I'll get the email from Tony as well. He might ask me to do it. I don't really know. But a little secret to our listeners, I also write for Bama Hammer, but I'm wearing my radio production hat tonight, not my sports writer hat. It's kind of fun. But
okay.
Anyway, that aside, what are your general impressions? I know, you know, you're up in Tuscaloosa coming out of fall camp, getting into the swing of things with the students on campus. What are your impressions of the football team overall? And if there's a weakness, you know, we already talked about the offensive line. What other weakness could be on the team that you see?
I mean, offensive line, of course, is a big concern. I think if you were trying to look at the second to next concern, I think it might be in special teams. And I think I was listening to y'all's program earlier, and you were talking about Lions long snapper Cole Maza, and how he the best long snapper is not to be noticed. So, I've seen some of his scouting videos from when he was in high school, and that is one impressive kid. But I think honestly special teams are going to be a key factor, especially this season. And AJ McCarron is going to be a better quarterback. We all know this. He's a two-time national champion in his two starts and is seeking his third. He's going to be a better quarterback. But there's just one thing that I've always had a problem with in the last couple of years, and that is special teams. There's not been very much consistency with it on just both the field goal kicking and the punting situation. I think that's going to be the second concern that's going to come in. And special teams has won the day in many SEC games, so it'll be important for the Crimson Tide to have a solid special team to back up the offense.
Well, we went over weaknesses, and I'm sure half the listeners are now on edge. So I'm gonna ask you to help me pull them back off the edge. What do you see as the biggest strength of this Alabama team?
The biggest strength. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it, and that's just simply the backfield of the offense, and that's just not just quarterbacking, that's also running back. And as I said, AJ McCarron's coming in this as a veteran kid, Heisman Trophy contender. He's gotten stronger every single game. I think if you looked at the 2012 and the 2011 BCS championship games, if you compared those 2 years, you would see definitely improvement from him. And in running back, you've got TJ Yeldon back there, who made a couple freshman mistakes, especially one in LSU that almost cost him, but he managed to make up for that later in that game. But TJ Yeldon's going to be very much improved. He's gonna run the ball in the same way he has, and that's kind of hard nosed. Down the middle and evasively, almost a mix of a Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram, kind of a best of both worlds type of thing. I think any SEC defense is definitely going to have to start looking at film when they're going to face Alabama, especially in that backfield, looking out for T.J. Yeldon and A.J. McCarron, because Alabama's offense is both. Threat is threatening in both the air and on the ground.
Well, I have to say you just did a fabulous job of pulling me back, probably much more the listeners, but pulling me back off the edge. Carrie's just, he was telling me in our back chat, he's got one more question for you. Carrie, what you got? And Carrie might be having some technical difficulties. That's good, too.
Yeah, it helps when I unmute my mic. So the question that I also got a lot of today was, hey, you know, what happens if AJ goes down? And it was kind of perplexing that that's what people think about first. But I just want to ask your opinion, Chris, because coming out of A-Day, after watching him lead that last what should have been a game-winning drive but for a drop ball by Chris Black, I was really impressed by Alec Morris, but somehow he has fallen maybe even below number three. But somehow Blake Sims, who never looks good at scrimmages or A-Days or anything, has somehow taken hold of the number two quarterback job. And I'm just wondering if you have any insight as to how that may have happened and what caused Alec Morris to fall from grace so quickly.
To be honest, your guess is as good as mine. I think you definitely got to think about that. What if on the first play of the 2013 season, AJ McCarron gets a hamstring injury and is out for the season? That's always a concern coming in. And I think you're right. That's got to be a concern, because what if that veteran quarterback of Alabama is taken out of the picture? That is a key piece in their offense, and if that's taken out, that's going to limit their options. And even if they put in a backup quarterback, you're probably going to see T.J. Yeldon run a lot more if A.J. McCarron gets taken out at some point. I don't exactly know how Blake Sims managed to work his way back up the depth chart, but I think he's definitely got the talent to back up McCarron. If there was one player that I thought would be good in backing up McCarron, it would definitely be Sims. I don't think I would take anybody else out of that quarterback lineup.
Well, right before you came on, we were discussing SEC scheduling. Have you had a chance to see the 2014 schedule? The SEC schedule to release?
I glanced over it, yeah.
Well, what did you think? Kerry had said that Cecil Hurt on Twitter had predicted Bama-Florida. Obviously, Bama is playing Florida. They're hosting Florida the 20th of September. What did you think of the schedule? I had said, you know, just to give you a comparison, I think it's just a precursor to the 9-game conference schedule by breaking the traditional rotations. But let's get your thoughts on the 2014 schedule.
I think I have to sort of kind of agree with you. I don't think it's necessarily a precursor, but I do think a 9-game schedule is imminent in the SEC. I think they've kind of just thrown away the entire system of rotating cross divisional games, and I think that might not be possible with a 14 team league. But the schedule in itself is not bad. For Alabama, the concern comes in just August and early November, in a sense, because you've got three away games out there, but you do have Texas A&M at home, which is probably a good thing, and you do have a bye week before LSU, which has been traditional since basically Saban has been put in as coach. So the SEC schedule this year is going to be. I think one thing that really kind of steamed me outside of Alabama was probably the fact that the LSU Arkansas game got moved to the midseason versus putting it near Thanksgiving Day. I kind of enjoyed that game late in the season. It was a really nice rough and tough mashup, and putting that at the end of the season is kind of putting that midseason is kind of kind of diminishing the meaning almost of the game. You know, Arkansas has always tuffled well with LSU, and I was kind of disappointed that they got moved off of the Thanksgiving schedule.
Well, absolutely.
Did either one of y'all notice that the first televised game ever on the Grandview SEC Network when it debuts next year is a Thursday night game in Columbia with the Texas Aggies visiting the old ball coach? I thought that was pretty interesting.
Absolutely. It's a great way to kick off the network. Bring in your largest TV market with A&M. So there's some smart cookies up in that Birmingham office.
Well, hey, this is how we got the big TV contracts, right?
Absolutely. Well, Chris, thanks so much for being with us. Give the listeners your Twitter handle so they can know where to go if they want to follow your coverage.
You can follow me twitter.com/djc.dodcdod. At djcdod is also if you get it on the Twitter application as well. So that's where you can find me. I'm putting out a bunch of stuff, not just Alabama stories, but you can hear about my boring life. So,
well, Chris, again, thank you so much for being on with us tonight, and we will definitely be following you and looking forward to your coverage of Alabama football this season.
All right, thank you, guys. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Chris. Again, that was Chris Dodson from BamaHammer.com. It's about 8:45, and I just saw our good friend Marty come up wanting to talk to the show. So I'm not even going to take a break. Marty, you are live with Carrie and me. You know me, I'm Rock. What you got for us this evening?
Hey, it's great to hear from Chris on Bama Hammer. I follow him. A lot of good information comes from that guy, and also you, Thomas. But real quickly, I'm going to put on my crimson glasses tonight and look at things from a different perspective than other people are. The offensive line has been a big concern for a good while. I'm going to say that this offensive line is an average offensive line this year, no different probably than a lot of other teams out there in college football land. So I'm going to look at that our defensive front has improved so much, and there's so much talent on that defensive front, that it is pushing the offensive line more than it has in the past. And, we'll find that out in the opening game, but that's what I'm sticking with. And, you know, with my crimson glasses, that's what I want to look at and hope for, that our defensive line is just so good that it's just making our offensive line look average or below. And another thing about the Geno Smith thing, you know, when I first heard about it, I was really teed off. I mean, I thought, well, what in the world would somebody go through spring practice, summer workouts, fall practice, two-a-days and all that, and first time they get an off day, they go out and get a DUI. But then I had to revert back to when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And I don't think my brain was developed then at all. You know, I wasn't thinking correctly back then, so I had to relate to then, and I kind of a little bit understand how these guys do. You know, they want to go out and have a good time too. Just unfortunately, you know, he was driving after having a few drinks and paid the consequences for it. So I'm going to give the guy a break. I'm going to predict that Geno Smith's going to come back after all this. He's going to be a better player. He's going to be a better leader later on, and it's going to make a better person out of him. What do y'all think about that?
I think that's very fair. And, Lord, you're exactly right about thinking back to the stuff we did at that age, and in some cases even later than that in life, and just were lucky didn't get caught. You live and you learn. And it's not a complete shock to me that it happened, because I was trying to ask somebody on Twitter if they had found out anything yet about Brandon Ivory's knee, because he did miss some practice time and stuff. But, you know, Saturday night, nobody knew how bad it was. And I was asking somebody, Marty, on Twitter, that knows a lot of the players, if he heard anything yet about Brandon's knee. And he said, well, it seemed to be okay tonight when he went out with the whole team partying, because them boys are so happy that the summer camp is over, because, you know, that was the end of 19 practices in 15 days. And you know, that's an annual tradition that on the last night of summer camp, after that Syracuse scrimmage, knowing they got 2 days off, that the guys go out on the town. And when you have a group of guys that go out on the town, it increases. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. You know, all things in moderation. But I heard that young man tell me that Brandon was out with the team that night. You know, and then I read the next morning what happened with Geno. I must say I was not completely shocked and blown away by it. Wasn't happy about it. But you're right, Marty. He's a good kid. He's been there 15, 16 months, and this is the very first time he's ever had to go to Coach Saban's office for anything. And anything includes being late for a meeting, sleep, you know, anything. He's not done one thing wrong. And I don't condone DUIs. I'm not saying that. But I heard all these people going on talk radio talking about how he needs to miss 2 games, 3 games, 4 games. And I'm thinking, if I'm Nick Saban and it's the first offense, I'm for more than a game, and I'm not told myself, Phil, no, I'm only going to one for me. To hear Coach Saban say it was only one game, I think it's fair. And like I said earlier, Marty, it's hometown of Atlanta, so that's got to sting a little bit. But at the same time, it's kind of reassuring to know that he, A, will become a better person. He will be able to be out there with his teammates, because they're going to need all hands in the, as you know.
Well, I agree 100%. You know, who can throw the first stone at somebody? I mean, you know, everybody's got something in their past, and you know, you live and learn, and you learn from lessons that you through life. You know, I really believe the kid's a good kid. I hated it happened. I hated it happened for the University of Alabama. But, you know, things like that come up, and we're just well blessed that we hadn't had more stuff than what we've had, you know. But, well, you know, I want to comment one thing, too, on the 2014 schedule. You know, I looked at that schedule, and I'm going, you know, wow. You know, that's pretty hard. But then I looked down at some of the other teams, you know, in the SEC. You know, let's speak of our little stepbrother, Auburn. Did you see their schedule? I mean, they're toast. Auburn is toast with that schedule they got next year, you know, especially after they go – you know, 4-8 this year, you know, and hit that schedule they hit next year, man, that's going to be tough for them.
They ain't going 4-8, Marty.
one can hope.
Probably going to go about 6-6. But that said, yeah, they got a hard schedule. They're going to have a lot of guys. They liable to go 6-6 again. I mean, Auburn really, they're about a 7-5, 8-4 type of school. That's who they are. That's the University of Auburn football. They think that 2010 is in 2000 where they really are, but it's not. It was a decade.
Well, you know,
an 8-4 type of school.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
You know, we're all worried about the quarterback position at Alabama. You know, the backup quarterback. You know, I look at it in a different way. You know, I remember when Brody Corral was there. I remember when Brody went down, and we went through all those quarterbacks, and we played a guy that I never heard of before out there on the field playing. You know, thinking, my goodness, who is this guy? You know, I'm not that concerned. I think Blake Sims, the reason he has fought back like he has, I think he's put in the work. I think that he's got the attention of Coach Saban. I think his worth ethic has been what Coach Saban likes. And, you know, the only problem with Blake Sims has been in the past is he tries to force things to happen. You know, if he could ever learn not to force things and just go with the flow and you know, if it's open, do it. If it's not, run it. You know, I think Blake Sims will be a good quarterback. But, man, you got some talent. I have never remembered when we've had, like, four-star quarterbacks just sitting on the sideline ready to come in. You know, Cooper Bateman and Rio and Morris and, and Parker, what is it, Parker. You know, we've got some quarterbacks back there that I believe that has the potential to play. Because I remember when A.J. McCarron, you know, was first recruited and was on the sideline, you know, nobody knew what he could do or anything. So I feel pretty confident in the quarterback situation.
And apparently the coaches do too. I just every time I watch Blake, I just see I see him throw the ball with a hitch in his throwing motion, similar to what Tyler Watts had. But I guess if you get in the right offense, you can see the last couple years. I guess anything's possible. Blake is 6 feet tall and more of a runner than a thrower. And I think are able to run the entire gas when he's in there. I think we're more of a lead option.
Well, guys, that's about all I got to say tonight. You know, I just want to shout out Big Roll Tide, and just you know, it's getting closer. It's like 10 days. You know, it's always getting this time of the year with before the first game. You always get nervous. I get nervous. You know, my wife gets mad at me because I take it so serious, you know, but the closer it gets to game day on that first game, the more nervous I get. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also nervous to see what's going to be put on the field. But, you know, it's still, we're blessed to be Bama fans right now.
No doubt about that, brother.
Well, I'm going to get off and listen to you. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Kerry.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for calling in, Marty. That was our good friend Marty, one of our regular callers, and it's always good to hear from y'all. Soon enough, Legend is going to be joining us for the island, so if you want to get on in for the queue for that, the number is 714-510-3707. But before we go into Legend Island, Kerry, I hope you understand what I mean when I say I think it's time for everybody listening, you and I included, to get hungry. So you want to give us a quick plug for our newest sponsor, Big Head Chuck?
I sure do. Big Head Chuck is a man that knows how to cater some barbecue. It don't matter if you want chicken, ribs, pork, beef, brisket, and my favorite, which is a Big Head Chuck original, he calls it the triple threat, a piece of pork with sausage in the middle, wrapped with bacon drizzled in Chuck's homemade barbecue sauce. And there's a number of ways you can get a hold of Chuck. First off, you can go to the internet, look at his menu at www.bigheadsbbq.net. That's plural.net. There's an entire menu of his catering. There's comment section of folks that have already been satisfied customers. And even, you know, people like me that eat it free. I still like it, though. The way you get a hold of him after you look at that menu and get ready to place you an order, two ways. One is to call him, 251-379-0094, or you can simply email BigHeadChuck, that's one word, BigHeadChuck@gmail.com. And I'm going to tell you, he does much more than just barbecue. He does side orders like potato salad and baked beans and just all kind of stuff. I mean, and he'll be displaying his wares at most every Bama home game this fall at the Bams Radio Tent. And that tent is located in front of Moore Hall across from the quad. And it's impossible to miss it. And you can come by and get a sampling of some of Chuck's outstanding barbecue. And after you have tasted it, you will want to purchase some for yourself. And he'll cater any size group within reason. He is located in South Alabama in the Baldwin County area, so you need to be relatively close to that unless you got a huge job. He'll talk to you about anything, though. It doesn't matter if it's 10 people or 1,000 people. Chuck is a caterer extraordinaire, and we do appreciate Big Head Chuck's barbecue. Again, that's www.bigheadsbbq.net, phone number 251-379-0094. And you can email him with an order, bigheadchuck@gmail.com. So shout out to my man, Chuck. I hope he's listening tonight, Thomas.
Oh, man. That his stuff is so good. If you have a chance, by the Bams tailgate, or just if you're in the area down in Baldwin County, get some for yourself. You will not regret it. Anyway, Legend. It's about 9 o'clock. I see Legend is on hold. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be going to Legend Island. Back, we're transitioning to Legend Island. Legend, can you hear me, my friend?
Hey, my friend, am I coming in clear?
You sound great. Carrie had to drop off, so it's just you and I for a little while, but, you know, how you doing this evening?
Man, I am doing good. I am pop rock about the upcoming season. It's football time, baby. 10 days away from kickoff. This is Christmas time for all the football fans out there. You know you're ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, baby. You know what time it is. It's three-peat time. Three-peat time, baby. All the Alabama fans out there, I know you're excited. T.J. Yeldon, Amari Cooper, Kitty Bell, A.J. McCarron, Cyrus Cujo, all C.J. Mosley, the list, Adrian Hubbard. The list just goes on. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. I know you pump. And most of all, baby, I got an 80-foot statue out in my front yard. I'm out here tonight looking at my 80-foot statue, looking over the great town of Hueytown, Alabama, the great Nick Saban. Can you tell I'm pumped, Rock? Can you tell I'm pumped, baby?
I am getting that. Not to say I'm right there with you. I wish kickoff. I'm chomping at the bit to get me a little football.
Man, I am so ready. I've been watching preseason NFL games. I'm so ready. I tell you, I've been watching games. I've watched the Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game three times this past week, baby. Every time Georgia ends up 5 yards short, you know. I love it, baby. I love it. I love it, man. It's been
absolutely
a good week. And I tell you, Rock, I'm excited about the upcoming season. I tell you, how many is it? 10 days away for the first Alabama game.
It is 10 days away, August 31st, Bama v Virginia Tech. Alabama's probably going to crush them. Honestly, we had Chris Dodson from Bama Hammer on earlier today, and I have to kind of steal some of his thunder. I think it's going to be a game for maybe two and a half quarters. Virginia Tech does have some horses, but unfortunately half their team seem to be dropping out for various reasons, whether it be injury or just quitting the team. But I don't think Virginia Tech can hang with Alabama, barring some kind of crazy Beamer ball moment where they get a couple of random kind of garbage scores off special teams or pick sixes. I just don't see how Virginia Tech's going to keep up. I've said this before on the show, and I'm sure you know as well, Legend. Frank Beamer did not do very well last year. It was his first non-10-win season in a long time. And in response, he changed up his offensive staff.
His new offensive coordinator is one Scott Leffler, who just directed quite possibly the worst offense ever seen in college football at Auburn. So color me not scared by the Virginia Tech offense. Defensively, Bud Foster's a great coordinator, but the Alabama offense has as much talent as any Alabama that has. It's just going to be tough to stop, assuming the offensive line gels. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope the team doesn't look beyond Virginia Tech, because there can be some fluky stuff that's bad. But I really feel like if you play the game 10 times, Alabama wins 9 of them easily. So definitely looking forward to a win to start out the season for the Tide. What about you, Legend? What you got for the show? I mean, what you got for the game, excuse me.
I got Alabama winning this game easy. I see like a 31-13 ball game for Alabama. I don't really see this as much of a competition. I like Alabama big in every game this year. I see an undefeated season. I don't really see much challenge on the schedule. Yes, Texas A&M, if Johnny Manziel plays, with Ryan Williams and a couple of the running backs that are really deep at running back, with Brandon Williams picking him up from Oklahoma this year. I see A&M and LSU as the two main challenges on the schedule. But even those two teams, I don't think they can beat Alabama unless Alabama beats themselves. I really believe we have entered a time at the University of Alabama where this is a dynasty. This is a machine. This is a monster. Nick Saban has built a monster at Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. We are back in the glory days. And I just don't see Virginia Tech as being much of a challenge. They lost a lot of their offensive players. They're breaking in all new wide receivers. Got a very good quarterback down there. He's very dangerous. But I really like this Alabama defense this year. I've heard a lot of noise this week about Geno Smith being suspended for that game, Brock. Who's going to step in for Geno Smith's place? I hear that he was inked in as a starter.
Well, I know Jerry Williams has been running in that spot. And Derek had actually locked up the nickel corner before he got injured last year, so it might be a little less athletic than Geno Smith, but it's so close it doesn't matter. I feel like Jerick Williams will come in and be able to perform admirably. The scary, if Jerick Williams has a pretty good game, Geno Smith could legitimately lose his starting position. And I think that deserves to be highlighted, just because a kid makes a mistake, and a DUI is unequivocally a mistake, and he gets suspended for a game. It's on him, this was his first offense, whatever. But because of being suspended, he could legitimately not start. So if that happens, it's an absolutely crystal clear message to particularly the younger players on Alabama's team. But in terms of overall on-field production, I don't think that there's going to be much off, which is a very, very good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Toby. I still like this Alabama team, even without Geno Smith at corner. I expect a big year out of Mr. Blue. What do you see from Mr. Blue this season?
Deion Blue is going to have a big season, quite honestly. With D. Milner leaving early, it doesn't put Alabama's secondary behind the eight ball, but you absolutely do need to keep some consistency. So I think he'll be the guy to knock out, lock up the number one receiver. Is he on the level of D. Milner? I don't think so, but at the same time, D. Milner was also a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, and it's kind of ridiculous to expect constant first-round picks just at corner on a rotation. I think that's a bit much. Before we get going, Legend, I just want to give the number for all our callers, any callers that call in. The number is 714-510-3707. We love our callers, and we'd love to hear from you on Legend Island. So give us a call. We've got lines open. Anyway, Legend, we were going. What else you got? I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure our callers had access to us.
Yeah, I got a couple guests coming on tonight, a couple sponsors of Legend Island this season. They're going to come on and talk a little football and tell us about their locations and what they're doing this year. and give some folks some excellent opportunities to check out what they offer the public. Also going to talk about the SEC tonight, break down the SEC some, and just take a look at the upcoming season. We 10 days away, baby. All the talk is almost over, as the old coach used to say. Ain't much left to say, but let's tee this thing up and get it on, baby. Get it on. What are you most excited about, brother, going into the season?
I kind of feel like I'm excited for the entire journey. And what I mean by that is Alabama's got a really good team, an ultra-talented team. And every part of it is going to be fun. I agree with you. I think Alabama defeated. And I just want that come to fruition, if only because Bird was nice enough to get me a championship ticket. But that's another story. I want to get it going. I want to be able to wake up on Saturday, and as opposed to what am I going to do today, it's what game is coming on. You know, what do I start cooking? You know, the first world problems of football are very appealing to me because the dry spell is just killing me.
Yeah, me too, brother. I'm ready to tee it up. And I just say I am pumped and excited about the upcoming season. And if you're out there tonight, you want to get in on the conversation, feel free to at 714-510-3707. Glad to hear from you. Any questions about the SEC, any questions about the nation, any questions about sports in general. Here on BAMS Radio, we cover it all. We even talk about Auburn some. I was talking to a couple friends of mine today. Believe it or not, Rock, I got some Auburn friends. You believe that?
Well, that's your first mistake, but I'll believe it.
But just looking forward to the season. Let's start talking about the SEC. We'll get some callers rolling. Let's take a look at the SEC West tonight. Who is your surprise team in the SEC West that somebody not really looking to challenge may challenge in the SEC this season?
I think I got to go with the trendy pick there and just say Ole Miss. They have an absolutely brutal schedule, so even if they have a more talented team, I think they might win the same. I think they won 7 games last year. They might only win 7 again, but I think they'll be very competitive. The other surprise, and I'm very reluctant to this, I think Auburn can't be as bad as last year, if only because Gus Malzahn will be able to coordinate the offense enough that even if the defense is a team, the offense will be able to outscore some people. So I think Ole Miss could challenge, Auburn could surprise. Do I think Auburn surprises Alabama? No, I don't. But I definitely think Ole Miss is the team to look at. We have Oliver on hold that I can bring online. I'm not going to be able to screen tonight, guys, with only Legend and I. It's just too difficult for me to try and keep up the conversation with Legend and screen. So I'm just going to be bringing you on and saying the last 4 digits of your number. So, Legend, you want to go in and get a caller rolling?
Yeah, let's roll with it.
All right, awesome. 7888, you are live on BAMS Radio with Rock Watson Legend. What you got for us this evening?
What's happening, fellas? This is Bill from the Brook.
Bill, what's going on, brother?
Man, just been, you getting me fired up, Legend. I mean, you know, here I am. I went back and earlier this week, bought a whole cooler full of Omaha steaks, chops, dogs, everything. I'm getting ready for football season and just ready for that season opener, buddy. That's what I'm going to be eating. We're going to be grilling here at the Brook Hacienda.
Man, sounds like I got to come over.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We got a few Omaha steaks in the freezer for you. We got your name on it.
Oh, man. I tell you what, that sounds like heaven to me, brother. That sounds like heaven right there.
Hey, listen, I was listening to some other shows earlier today, and then I know that your guy here had a guy on that was talking about the O-line at Alabama. What's the big concern? I mean, the O-line, I mean, we all know Saban has been building depth at Alabama for ever since he's been there. And we've got people that are just as good as the ones that start that are just about ready to go. And, you know, as soon as one leaves, the next one takes over. I was in school there from 80 to 85, and I was there during the Bryant days, the last of the Bryant days, and that was a dynasty. Of course, not when I was there, but, you know, in the 70s and the 60s. But when we're talking dynasties, I mean, what I don't have any concerns about the defense. I don't have any concerns about A.J. McCarron. I just wonder what everybody's wondering about this O-line for. I mean, it's been strong. It was strong as heck last year. It was strong as heck the year before that. What's the big deal? Why is everybody so worried about the offensive line?
Well, I think a little bit of it is that we lost three outstanding players in Barrett Jones, a four-year starter. We also lost Chance Formack, who many is considered the best offensive guard in college football since the days of John Hanna, and also lost one of the most powerful run blockers in a long time in college football, and someone who I've seen just dominating already for the Chargers the other night, and DJ Fluker. So at the same time, we got Ryan Kelly coming in, who many think has an opportunity to be one of the best centers ever at the University of Alabama. And we got Cyrus on the outside and his brother. And Anthony Stain is back. I mean, he's been a starter and then solid. And I've heard a lot of good things about Austin Shepherd. So I'm not really concerned. Hey, Rob.
I mean, I'm not either. I just don't understand why everybody – I mean, I guess if you want to try to create a weakness preseason and point at Alabama, the Bama haters out there, they're going to say, well, you know, it's the offensive line. They don't have what they had last year, all that crap. But, I mean, I just – with Saban's program, I just don't see – a weakness there. I really don't. It might take a game or two to get them all in tune, but I feel like he's going to have them ready.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, Bill, let me cut in just a second. Hey, Rock, if we get 8468, bring Rick on. I told him to come on at 9:15 if he calls in, and we'll have put Bill on hold and just have him hang out with us for a while in the
That's
show.
Fine.
If Rick shows up on the screen there for you, but
all right,
what do you
I'll
think,
keep an
Mark?
Eye out.
I don't see a problem with the offensive line at all.
Well, let me ask you this, Legend, and you pay attention to this a lot more than I do. I stay pretty busy at work, but I know we've got 8 conference games this year, and you know this is like the year before the playoff system starts, or does that start next year or this year?
Next year.
Okay. Does every other SEC team have 8 conference games?
Yes, everybody has the same amount of games.
So they all have, everybody's got 8 conference games?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see there, I just learned something. I was looking at the schedule while I was listening earlier, and of course the biggest threat I see really is A&M second game just might catch us off guard a little bit, but other than that, I don't really see any real threats here. Do you?
No, I was saying earlier that I think A&M and LSU is the two main games to be concerned about.
Yeah.
LSU traditionally gives Alabama fits every year. I remember one year we were ranked number one in the country, and LSU beat us. They were like 3-5. So that's become a big, huge rivalry game. And A&M has a tremendous amount of offensive talent. Their defense
is
potato water. But their offense is really, they're good. Their line's going to be as good as it was last year. They have 4 or 5 wide receivers that's all 6'3" or taller. One that caught over 1,000 yards last year. They got 3 or 4 outstanding running backs. And Johnny Football is a Heisman Trophy winner. So if he gets
we all know about Johnny Football. I mean, but really, getting this game, the second game out of the chute, that's, you know, makes me scratch my head a little bit. They gave us fits last year, as you, I know you remember. So, you know, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for sure in that game.
Hey, Rock, has Rick showed up?
I have seen nothing so far, so I'm keeping a weather eye out.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for Rick. He's supposed to show up. But I don't really see a challenge. Even A&M, because it's a revenge game for the University of Alabama, I really think I don't see that as much of a game. I really see Alabama. I think our eye has been on the A&M game for quite a while.
You think we're going to blow them away like we did LSU in the second game?
I do believe that. I think
it won't
we'll
come
shut
the same season.
I think we'll shut them down, and I think we'll have them looking like Tim Brando looked that year we beat Ole Miss. He had Ole Miss better than Alabama.
Hey, let me ask you this, too, just out of curiosity. I mean, of course, I'm an Alabama fan. I'm an alumni. I went to school there, but one of my favorite coaches in the SEC is Mark Richt. And I was just wondering about what you thought the Dogs were going to do this year.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think they'll be all right, but Georgia specializes in losing two or three games a year.
Things could have been a whole lot different last year if they had pulled that win out in the SEC championship, and you know that just as well as I do.
Yeah, I agree with you. They pushed us to the limit. I have to give them credit. But I really think we'll be in good shape. If we had to play Georgia again this year, they lost 8 starters off that defense, and that's hard to replace in the SEC. Georgia's another team kind of like Texas A&M who's loaded on offense.
Yeah.
And you're really going to have to watch them. They got 10 starters back, going to have a great offensive line. They got Gurley back. They got their run marshals back. They got their receivers back. And, of course, they got their quarterback back. I think for Georgia with Aaron Murray, they have a huge year offensively. The key to Georgia's team is going to be defensively. And it's just hard to say right now, losing 8 starters. I mean, they lost Ogletree. They lost some big-time players on that defense, Rambo. It'd just be interesting to see how Georgia replaces the people they lost on defense. And that'll be the key to the game, to the Georgia season. I really look for Clemson to knock Georgia off right out of the gate.
Really? Well, you know, I just, for some reason, I've always liked Mark Richt. I think the world of him. I think he's a great guy, good coach, super Christian man, and I really respect him a lot. And so, other than my alma mater, I try to, give them as much support as I can. Also, I wanted to get your prediction on who do you think is going to be in the SEC conference game this year? Who do you think it's going to be besides Alabama?
I got South Carolina winning the East.
Really?
I think this is Steve Spurrier's best team.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be the year that Carolina steps up. And Clowney is just a tremendous player. He's a player that's unblockable. One scout said you might as well just hold him every play and hope to get a penalty every other play. It's the only way to stop him.
Yeah. Well, they had some real squeakers last year that kind of edged them out. But, Spurrier's a great coach, and I think, it would do him it'd be a good legacy for him to go out a winner at South Carolina.
Yeah, I think this is going to be his best team by far. Yeah. What do you think, Rock?
I think I agree with you on the South Carolina pick to play Alabama in the SEC championship. And just to spotlight the Davion Clowney matchup, you would have Davion Clowney primarily rushing against Cyrus Kwanjo. Clowney, barring some monster injury, will be the number one overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft. Cyrus Kwanjo has a legitimate shot, depending on who's drafting number two, to be the second overall. His ceiling is considered that high by NFL teams. So even if Alabama were to lose that game, which I don't think I would beat South Carolina in the SEC championship, just that would be absolutely worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I see Cyrus going number two in the NFL draft. I mean, when you start drafting players, you start up front, and offensive tackles have gotten where they are such a rare commodity to have a player of that level. When you get a guy 6'7", 330, with a guy who has a ceiling to go 12 to 15 years as an all-pro.
He can run a 5'40".
That's the truth, man. I mean, you are talking about an extraordinary, extraordinary.
I mean, that's a lot of poundage moving mighty quick.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm talking about mighty quick. I'm interested to see his brother this year, see how he lines up and play. I've heard some good things about him, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he does this season.
Well, hey, brother, what do you think about Florida?
I'm not that
the,
I like
the old the Urban Meyer catastrophe.
A lot of people like Florida. Danny Sheridan, who knows a lot more about the game than I do, he likes Florida.
Danny likes things that nobody else likes, so you know that's going to not pan out.
Hey, don't talk bad about my friend Danny Sheridan. He's been good.
Oh, man, I love Danny. Come on. I just got to give him crap.
Yeah, I don't know. Florida's an interesting choice. But I still think they have trouble at quarterback. So anytime you have trouble with quarterback, and they're speaking highly of the quarterback down there this season, but anytime you have trouble at quarterback, you have problems. And I just don't think he's a quality quarterback. I just don't think he is a SEC championship quarterback, and there's a big difference in the SEC. Plus, DeBose is now out for the season, Andre DeBose. And they were looking for huge things from him. He's gone for the season. So that's going to really hurt Florida. But Florida's in the mix. You can throw Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida in the air. And any three of those teams could win the SEC East this year. But still, it seems to me like Alabama is still clearly head and shoulders above the whole conference and the nation as far as that matters.
Well, you know, I hope you're right. Sometimes, I mean, as much as I love Alabama to win, I just, you know, I get nervous sometimes, and that's just the way it is. My last question about your boy Irby over to Ohio State. What's the big doubt about that?
I don't know. I think Urban will do good this year. I think Urban has traditionally done good in his second year at a program. At Bowling Green, he won 10 games his second year. At his second year at Utah, he went undefeated. And then in his second year at Florida, he won the national championship. So, again, I'm expecting great things out of Urban Meyer in his second year at Ohio State. I think they might end up playing Alabama for the national championship. Danny was on last week, and he had Ohio State losing at least two games. And I hate to agree with Colin Cowherd because I – think Colin Cowherd is a pile of cow crap, but he made the statement that he thought that Ohio State would go undefeated. And I think Urban Meyer will have them play in Alabama for a national championship, and I hope that's the way it plays out because I'd like to see Alabama just.
Oh, I'd love to
just
browbeat the crap out of him and have his players whining on the sideline crying. Heck, I tell you what, though, I'd like to get a hold of Urban Meyer's doctor because, I mean, anybody that can have that many health problems to have to quit your job and then come back strong in a new job, man, I want to get some of whatever that doctor had that healed him.
Yeah, he was going to the nut ward in Atlanta last time I seen him in person, so maybe he's been reborn.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, he got some kind of miracle drug or got in some kind of miracle water or something. I don't know. I'd like to find it to make me make my aching old bones feel better.
Yeah, that would be. You need some stuff for your aching bones.
Yeah.
Well, I need some stuff for my aching bones. My poor old aching bones. They're killing me, bro.
Killing me. You ain't old enough to have aching bones yet. You're still a youngster.
But, Rob, well, what do you think?
I didn't mean for this to be the Bill and Legends show, but
that's all right.
You got
to put
callers on
line. It's just me, you, and Rob. But, Rob, what do you think about the Florida Gators?
Florida, I think that the defense is always going to be under Will Muschamp. I sincerely hope that Jeff Driskel is going to be able to recover from his appendectomy and play at a higher level. He's a fabulous runner, but his passing left a lot to be desired last year. I have to say, there's going to be an interesting question of, does the Sugar Bowl, where Louisville really came out and just beat the tar out of Florida, is there any kind of hangover from that game? I frankly don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's any sort of hangover. It's going to be an interesting looking at their schedule. They play at Miami, who is going to be one of the better teams in the SEC the second week of the season. But looking at the rest of their schedule, it's manageable. They're at LSU Saturday, October the 12th, and they host Florida State on November the 30th. But nothing really jumps out at me. And, of course, there's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party against Georgia November the 2nd. But there's no murderer's row of games like Georgia has to start the season. So I think they have a shot to be a solid 10-win team. I don't know. There are a lot of questions on offense, like DeBose. But at defense will be very good, even if they did lose Sharif Floyd as a first-round pick. It'll be interesting. I think they have every opportunity to at least challenge South Carolina for the East crown. Probably the best answer I can give you. And in answer to your question, we do have a couple of other callers on hold if you want to bring someone on with us.
Do you have Randy's number on?
I do not, unfortunately. I'm looking for it.
Go ahead and
but
bring
I haven't seen anything.
All right.
Marty was just on with us before you came on, but he called back in to talk to you. So, Marty, you are live with Legend. How you doing now?
Hey, I'm doing great. I know it's against the rules to call in twice, but, you know, I had to call in and talk to my man, Legend. Hey, Legend, it's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're back on BAMS full-time now. Really excited to hear from you. You bring a lot to the game. Man, you're a valuable asset to this program.
Well, I appreciate that, Marty. It's good to be back full time. I'm ready for the season, brother. You can call as many times as you want to. You're one of our favorite callers here on BAM. We don't give out a call of the year yet, but you'd definitely be in the running if we did.
Hey,
y'all. We're always glad to hear from you, brother. You bring a lot to the table.
Real quick, one thing that really excites me this year, let's talk about the defense for just a moment. You know, Michael Fanning, I mean, I really am excited about this guy. 6'7", 270 pounds. And, you know, they tried him at tight end. He did all right. They moved him back to defense. You know, but I think he's going to come off the edge this year, and I think he's going to really bust out for the first time. You know, I've been looking for a lot from this guy, but I think he's starting to click now. I think he's starting to get the eye of Saban. And you know, I believe he's going to have a breakout year. What do you think about that, Rock and Legend?
I like Fannin. I really do. I see a line of Fannin, Ivory, and Pagan. Of course, you got Ed Stinson, too, in the mix, of course, and several other players that I know Rock is high on that defensive line. But Fannin's kind of that player that I've been just waiting on him to bust out. And I really think this will be the year that him and Pagan just kind of solidify them defensive end positions for the future. And I'm excited about this defense, especially up front, especially when you look at them linebackers. I mean, C.J. Mosley, Trey Dupree, Adrian Hubbard, the Denzel kid, I mean, Dickerson, and even the young kid, Reggie Ragland, that everybody's talking about, that many people think is the next Keith McCann. And also there's a freshman in there, ain't they, Rock, that I know you're high on, that I'm high on, Mr. Foster, who people are saying is just lighting it up in camp. So, I mean, and then you look at the back with Ha-Ha, and, you know, and then you got just Landon Collins back there. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Vinny Sinceri's back there, Blues back there. I really like this defense. I said this defense has an opportunity to be as good as the last two defense, and I got a lot of criticism about that, maybe because of the corner play. But up front, I'm really excited about Pagan and Fannin up front, and in that sense, and I expect a great year out of him. So, I mean, if Ivory can handle that middle, and I'm sure he'll get some help from Darius Page, too, in that middle, I'm really excited about the up front, Marty. What about you, Rock?
Well, I have to say, if there is one thing for an opposing offense coordinator to lose sleep over when you're looking at Alabama, it's third down and long. Because you mentioned LaMichael Fannin. If there's a guy you want first off the bus, it's LaMichael Fannin. He is this guy that NFL scouts, they'll come to Alabama practices, and they'll tap Bama coaches' shoulder and say, "Who is that? He looks like an NFL player," and they're pointing to LaMichael Fannin. So let me set a situation for you. Third down and long, Alabama goes in and decides to send in their rabbit package. Alabama's rabbit package is basically a line of pass rushers, guys that can get penetration and get to the quarterback in a hurry. You've got Adrian Hubbard, who legitimate first-round potential, led the team in sacks, led the team in tackles for loss last year. You got LaMichael Fannin, who has an extremely high ceiling and, as I've mentioned, is NFL ready. And then you just pick a couple of space-eating defensive ends that can push the pocket. And there are very, very few offensive lines that can match up with that on third and long. Third and long is going to be a lot of fun for Bama fans because there's not going to be this question of, is Vinny Sinceri going to have to cover for 4 seconds? It's going to be how many times does the quarterback get buried in that situation? So, absolutely love the defensive line. Alabama's linebackers might be the best in college football. You can debate that all you want, but they're definitely in the top five. And particularly at the safety position, extremely athletic, extremely skilled. Corners, kind of a question with Geno Smith getting that suspension, but as mentioned during earlier in Legends Island segment, Jarek Williams had the position locked up before he got hurt, and he will slide in for Geno for the Virginia Tech game, and there's a legitimate shot that Williams sticks there. So this defense is just going to be a lot of fun to watch. Probably the most athletic defense that Nick Saban has had since he's been at Alabama from top to bottom. It does seem to be the 2011 defense because that defense, the 2011 defense, because that defense really was the best statistical defense college football has seen in the past 5 years. But if Alabama gets even close to that, you're talking easy undefeated. It's 9 times out of 10. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, Rock, let's hold on to Marty and go on to another caller, and we'll just have Marty finish out the show with us.
Sounds good to me. Ike, we do have one more caller, and I'm going to bring him on now. It's your good friend, our good friend of the show, Rob. How are you this evening?
Fine, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, great, Robert? Now that you called in.
I see how you are. Are you doing? Did Marty a fan to quote out that show, huh?
Roll Tide, Robert.
Roll Tide. How are you doing, Marty?
Hey, I'm doing great, Robert. It's good to hear from you, man. I'm glad you're doing well.
Hey, Robert, this is Bill from Mountain Brook. Roll Tide, buddy.
Hey, Roll Tide, buddy, man. You got three car on there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All our cars on Legend Island. We just have a party, Robert.
We're having a party, Robert, in your honor.
We just hold on to you.
Where is the bird?
Bird is on the beach.
Bird is actually
over the beach.
Yeah, he had to fly to Houston today just for some follow up from all of his medical stuff.
Is he doing okay?
Yeah, I think he's doing well. So definitely looking forward to him as the season gets closer. Probably even next week he'll be on a ton. We're all coming at the bit over at BAM for the season to start. We'll be trying out our full lineup as always.
Hey, Robert. Hey, this is Marty. Hey, Robert, keep Bird in your prayers, man, because he still needs your prayers, man. And you know, I think if you send your prayers up for Bird, I believe that the heavens will open up and listen for it.
Maybe I send him a message on Facebook. Is he going to do it?
He's on Facebook a couple of times recently.
Well, yeah, I will send him a message on Facebook, and I hope he did it.
I'm sure he will, buddy. I'm sure. You looking forward to the upcoming football season?
You better recognize. You better know it, man. I'm looking forward, man. Woo! Are you
Roll
ready
Tide,
for college football?
Robert
hey,
is a Hall of Famer fan now. Robert knew which team to jump on board with, but he was an Iowa
hey,
Hall of Famer.
I think we're going to Waterloo.
Yeah, buddy, man. If everybody wants to come down in Iowa and have a beer with me, we can go to the bar and have a beer.
That'll work, man. I love it. That sounds great, Robert.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm going to write a movie. It's going to be a fun movie. My mom did me a movie from Funny Fiddle.
That sounds good. I can't wait.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you calling tonight. That's Robert from Iowa. We love Robert. He's one of our favorite callers here on BAMS. We love you, brother. And when you call into Legend Island, you might just stay on all night. That's the way we do here on Legend Island. We're talking football tonight. You can get in on the conversation if you want to at 714-510-3707. BAMS Radio every Wednesday night, 8 to 10. Legend Island from 9 to 10. Had Danny Sheridan on last week. Going to have some other folks on in the coming weeks. Hope to get Mr. Feinbaum on with me. Hope to get Jackaroo on, Coach Mike Leach this season. We're going to have a time. And, of course, we'll have a lot of different former Alabama players. And who knows? Who Nick Saban might drop in before the season.
I was fixing to tell you, Legend. I might give Uncle Nick a call.
Yeah, me too. Bill. You need to reach out and call that number. You and Feinbaum are only the few people I know who actually got that number. Y'all won't even give it to me.
This is on a need to know basis. I can give it to you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Rock, we got any more callers out there?
We actually do. One of the guys, the number you gave me, 8484, I just made him live, so you can go in and bring him on.
Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing tonight, Legend?
Man, I am doing good. It's an honor to have you on BAMS Radio. You hanging out with the Rock, the Legend. We got Bill and Marty, two of our favorite callers. They're hanging out with us tonight. And we're not going to hold it against you. But somebody told me you're an Auburn fan. Is that true?
Very, very true, sir. Yes, sir. Long family tradition of Auburn fans in my family. But, you know, all that being said, I appreciate what the Tide's done for the great state of Alabama in the last few years, too. So, you know, all respect given to who deserves it.
I was telling Rock earlier, I said, some of my best friends are Auburn fans. He was ready to disown me, but we love Auburn fans.
Hey, Dave, there you go. We got Auburn fans calling in, too, on BAM's radio network.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, brother. Hey, Dave,
yeah,
what do you see for the Auburn Tigers this year? What are you expecting us to do in this first season down there?
Well, I know you Bama boys are going to think I'm crazy, but I call 7 wins, what I call. It seems like a stout thing, but you know Malzahn's brought a lot of magic wherever he came into a mediocre program. And,
I told someone today that Gus kind of scares me a little bit, and that's a good thing when you're an Auburn fan if your coach kind of scares you a little bit. But Gus is one of them coaches that strike a little fear in you. I mean, he has got the magical touch when it comes to offense, so. 7 wins is not out of the question, brother. I might have to agree with you there.
Well, you know, I hear all this Cam Newton talk. Cam Newton this, Cam Newton that. But I'm going to tell you something, man. Cam Newton had a little man in his ear, too. And you know who that was, don't you?
Who was that?
That was Gus Malzahn. And, you know,
Yeah.
I'm sure you boys like to say a lot of things, but... you know, I tell you, he had good coaching, and Malzahn, every program he's ever touched, he's done real good at. In fact, I think for the Tigers, unfortunately, when Malzahn left, that's part of why things started to slip. And I'm looking forward to see if he's going to have the same magic here that he's had in other places. And, you know, hope for the best.
Dave works for Mike Fine Jewelry, one of the sponsors this season for Legend Island. We're glad to have them on board. Hey, Dave, tell everybody about Mike Fine Jewelry. They're sponsoring the show tonight. Tell everybody about what y'all do down at Mike.
Oh, man, I tell you, we've got a large selection of fine jewelry, diamonds, gold, white gold, platinum, engagement rings, necklaces, anniversary stuff, even something as small as just a small birthday gift for a special lady. We've got that. On the other half of our store, we do musical instruments. We've got over 1,200 guitars, probably 200 or 300 amplifiers, 300 or 400 or 500 band instruments, just a lot of different things. It's kind of interesting. You walk in our store and you kind of watch it. It's like this thing. The ladies will sweep over to the right looking at the jewelry, and the guys will kind of sweep over to the left looking at the musical instruments. But We've been in business since 1965. I'm sorry we couldn't get Mike on with y'all tonight. He had a prior engagement, but Mr. Mike's been in business since 1965, and his stores, you know, helped a lot of people through the years, helped a lot of husbands who were in trouble get out of trouble.
I tell you what, I drive by your store every day, and I've bought several musical instruments from you guys. You guys have a great selection of banjos and guitars, and I mean, I just love walking in there.
Hey, man, we appreciate anybody coming in and walking around and looking. In fact, we did something about 2 weeks ago. We got hooked up with one of the Google photographers, and he came in and took some photographs of our store that tie in with Google Maps. In fact, if you go to Google and you look up Mike's Jewelry Store or Mike's Fine Jewelry or Mike's Music Center, you look that up on Google, and it pops the little map feature up there on the right-hand side of the Google screen. It'll also show what looks like the inside of our store. If you click on that picture, it takes you through basically a virtual tour of the inside of our store. So even if you've never been in our store before, you can kind of click right there and look around and kind of get an idea of what you're looking at. You know, what you're coming into. And I tell you, our store reminds me a lot. I've traveled a little, but went up to New York City. And, you know, in New York City, they've got stores. They're not real big, but they seem to put an awful lot of stuff in a small amount of space.
Yep.
And our store's a lot like that. Our store's a lot like that. There's an awful lot of product, a lot of things to see. And, you know, it's just a neat little place.
Y'all always got quality stuff. bought several things from y'all in the past, and I've always just, I mean, you've been around since I was a kid. I grew up in Birmingham, so that's 50-something years for me.
Well, I won't judge against that, but I tell you, you know, one thing that kind of, I think, you know, sets us apart from a lot of other stores is you can go into a lot of jewelry stores, and they'll have a few things in their cases, and you can pick out a diamond, and you can pick out a ring you like, and it's almost like they're building something, like they're building you a new Ford truck, or they're building you, it's almost like it's a construction line instead of a place for you to go and see a lot of unique items. And I tell you, we've got thousands upon thousands of jewelry items, and every single one of them is a unique item. So we've got something for almost every taste and almost every budget. But I tell you, another thing, too, when you're looking at guitars, if you're looking for a $100 guitar, I'm your guy. If you're looking for a $2,000 guitar, I'm your guy. You know, y'all just come down and see us.
Gibson Master Tone banjos. I mean, come on. not many stores have those.
Well, we've got a few nice things. But anyway, I know y'all had me on tonight to kind of razz me about Auburn football, and I don't want to tie y'all up with talking about our store. But, you know, anybody that's listening out there, if y'all want to come in and see a great selection of unique items, and you want a good price on something, and you want to talk to some people who are willing to kind of work with you and help you out, come see us. We'd be glad to have you.
Absolutely. Hey, thank
you. We're on the show tonight, man. Thank you so much for coming on BAMS Radio.
It ain't no problem. Hey, War Eagle boys.
Roll Tide.
Y'all have a good evening.
All right. That's Dave.
Thanks for having
Mike
me.
Fine jewelry, and Bill was testifying what a great store it is. Let's talk a little Auburn football. We love to talk Auburn football on here. He said 7 wins. Rock, what do you think? You say over or under that number this season for Auburn?
Well, this has actually been a topic of conversation in the chat while this call's been going on, and I think the consensus is 6-6. I could see the 7th win. Looking at Auburn's schedule, I think Auburn's going to blast Washington State. Arkansas State's a cream puff. Mississippi State Auburn has always done whatever team wins that game, kind of a catapult. At LSU, it's tough to see Auburn win in that. Versus Ole Miss, I think toss up. Western Carolina will be an Auburn win. A&M, I have a hard time seeing Auburn being able to outscore A&M. Florida Atlantic's a win. Arkansas is going to be bad this year. But recruit anything but offensive skill positions. So, and Brett Bielema doesn't do anything near Bobby Petrino. So I think Auburn beats Arkansas. Tennessee is going to be a toss-up. Tennessee is going to get brutalized. They play 5 of 10 team preseason top 10 teams on their schedule. So it's legitimately that.
So what happened to that Tennessee dynasty?
Nick Saban happened
to that. I mean, did it just all go down the toilet when they got rid of what's his name?
Well, Philip Fulmer just decided to stop recruiting. So.
Yeah, but I mean, they've just gone from greatness to nothing and kind of stayed there.
Hey, they get what they deserve.
Yeah, one of our chat members just said Krispy Kreme, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
I think Phil did more damage at Tennessee than Nixon did to America. So, I mean, that's a program that's really just hit the skids and has never, never recovered. And I personally love every second of it because I cannot stand Tennessee. Somebody said the SEC hurts when Tennessee does bad. It don't hurt me at all when Tennessee does bad. I love every second of it. Rock, we got any more callers out there, or are we just hanging with the crew?
You've got your crew, Bill. We got no more callers. It's about 9:55. I've got the show going for another half an hour, so we can talk. We can extend it to 2.5 hours if you want. But y'all just keep going, and I'll keep chat going and everything.
Hey, Legend, Rock, and Bill.
We'll keep calling for a while.
Hey, let's go back to Auburn just a moment. You know, you're saying 6-6. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I need to take my crimson glasses off, but I just don't see that. Auburn has no depth whatsoever. That Washington State game, that's going to be a 4.5-hour game. I mean, you know, Washington State just runs up and down the field. I mean, they lost D-Ford. They've lost so much on defense. I just don't see Auburn be able to stick through that schedule that they've got and come out with a 6-6 season. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it.
Who said 6-6, me or you, Legend?
I said 4-8.
Rock,
well,
six.
I may have said 6-6. Let me just tell you the factor about Auburn. All right, Auburn is always unpredictable. They always seem to pull out games when they ain't got a hope in hell and nobody's giving them any chance to win. That's just Auburn. Okay, they do that. I mean, they've done it time again. Done it against Alabama. They, you know, I lived through the 5-0 years. You know, when all my buddies that I went to school with that were big Aubs and are giving me the 5 sign. You know, making it 6. So you know, I never underestimate them. I mean, I don't actually cheer when they lose, but I enjoy it when they get beat or when they beat themselves. I'll put it that way.
Let me tell everybody right quick about Randy's Window Tent. It's down on 18th Street North in Bessemer, Alabama. I've had a chance to talk to Randy. He didn't come on tonight. He was supposed to. But Randy's Window Tint, if you have any needs when it comes to your cars and your windows being tinted, Randy's considered the best tint man in the state of Alabama. He does cars at an outstanding price. If you have any tint needs as far as business or anything, Randy's Window Tint on 18th Street North in Bessemer, Alabama is the place to go. You tell Randy the Legend called you and told you to hook up with him, and he will hook you up. Marty, what's your thought on the Auburn Tigers? I didn't catch your thought there. Did you say 6-6?
No, I say 4-8. they're gonna improve one game this year over the last year. I just don't see it. You know, they talk about Gus Malzahn. Okay, that's great and wonderful, Gus Malzahn. But you know
he's
what?
He's an up and comer. Okay.
Well, yeah, he's great. He's the next. He's the next
so
great coach.
Awesome. Like, yeah. Just like Gene Cheese dip.
Yeah. You know, I heard the same thing about him. But listen, you know, Cam Newton, they don't have a Cam Newton. I don't care what they say about Marshall. He's not a Cam Newton. He's not a runner like Cam Newton was. Maybe he can throw the ball 100 yards. Who cares? He cannot run the ball like Cam Newton did. Cam Newton could run the football. That's what he – you know, how many games would Auburn have lost in 2010 if Cam Newton had not been the quarterback? They would have lost several games. You know, I just don't see that offense is that great. You know, you had a one-in-a-lifetime quarterback that come through a program, and with his offense, if you don't have a great quarterback, that's not going to be a successful offense. And I'm sorry, Ellis Johnson, I've heard so much about Ellis Johnson, it's made me want to throw up about him. You know, he went and got his first debut as a head coach and go 0-12. What daggum coach can go 0-12 if they're that daggum great? Please tell me that.
He might be a Mike DeBose. He might not be cut out for a head coaching job. But I have to agree with you. I have never been a big Ellis Johnson fan. I've been hearing for years. He coached a couple of these Mississippi teams on defense for a couple of years, and everybody kept talking, Ellis Johnson, what a great defensive coordinator. I did not like him at the University of Alabama. And I am not a big Ellis Johnson fan. So I do not see an Ellis Johnson defense by no stretch of the imagination. I think you're dead on. I think you just nailed it. I think everybody talked about what a great job Gus did putting this staff together, but I think he missed the mark with Ellis Johnson. I think he might be one of the most overrated defensive coordinators in the nation, and I just do not see this Auburn program getting back. I think they were a one-hit wonder. I do not see them getting back up towards the upper echelon of the
SEC. Not anytime soon.
And you guys know it's been 640 days now since Auburn won an SEC game.
Hey, while we're talking about Auburn, Legend, have you heard anything about Tubby? Where's he at?
Where is
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
He's where?
Cincinnati.
He's Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Is he working for ESPN now or what?
I think he's on Duck Dynasty, if I ain't mistaken.
I guess he can blow a duck call. That qualifies.
Hey, Rock. Rock.
Yes, sir.
I got to take a quick bathroom break here on Legend Island. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Can you run it for 5 minutes with the crew?
I can keep the ship. I can keep everything ship shape.
Hey, Legend, get a jar.
Wow.
This is radio, man. Come on.
You live in the Legend Island here with the Legend. I'm going to take a quick bathroom break. We ain't had a commercial in an hour. And I'll be right back. Lots of
we don't take
show
commercials.
Well,
I have to say, I've been muted laughing as well, listening to this, the interplay, but it's been excellent.
You got a red button there, a delay button?
Yeah, if only.
Perfect.
But no.
I tell you, I did radio for 7 years, and I had to use that dump button quite a bit.
We're just kind of shooting the breeze. Cool, but no, I wanted to weigh in on Auburn real quick. The Ellis Johnson thing is a good point. He's got experience, and I will disagree just with some of what's been said. Auburn has recruited very well in the recent past, and even if Gene Chizik has a developing players problem, which he absolutely did, there's a lot of material for Gus Malzahn to work with. But, you know, I do want to touch on Washington State. Auburn's defensive line should be able to terrorize Washington State, but God help the Tigers if the offensive line for Wazoo can gel, because that secondary is the definition of patchwork, with McNeil getting kicked out of school, and a rash of injuries. You could have Kyle Frazier, who just went to safety in the past 3 weeks, getting a solid amount of playing time. That's not a good state of being for a program. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, Rock, explain to me, what kind of linebacker core does Auburn have? I mean, come on.
Not a great one. I think Chris Frost and Cass McKenzie are on that team. I'm sorry, I haven't scouted Auburn. I haven't looked at Auburn's depth chart, so I'm just kind of pulling from conversations that I've had with Auburn fans. There's talent, sort of, for the linebackers, but it's certainly not Alabama level talent. If there's a strength for Auburn, it's the defensive line and nothing else.
Yeah, but they lost Dee Ford for several games. I mean, what's that going to do for them? He's the most experienced lineman they got.
I agree. It's attrition is really putting a hurting on Auburn right now. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying, as an impartial observer, the injuries have done Auburn no favors. The thing that the solace is if I was an Auburn fan, first off, I'd have to commit ritual suicide. But that notwithstanding, the solace for Auburn fans is Gus Malzahn, his offense will score a lot of points. And there could be some games where if if it turns into a horse race, Gus Malzahn can win it just outscoring. But Legend
you
just
have a word
back in. I know, that's what I'm saying. It just has to be a horse race where Auburn wins, 65-58. It's not going to be a true, if you think of SEC games, that won't be it. But anyway, Legend, I see you are back on and you are back live. I trust your bathroom break was profitable or something. I don't know. You've just missed Auburn talk, so you missed not much.
Well, it was a good time to go to the bathroom, man.
Basically.
Boy, you're really going to scare off all the Aubs now.
Hey,
I got a
I got a toilet right in front of the Nick Saban statue, and I tell you, my plumbing is working good. It's working good out here on Legend Island, I tell you.
We're glad to hear it.
Hey, Legend.
Well,
glad you ever heard of TMI?
Do what?
TMI.
Hey, Legend.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm going to have to get off here in just a minute, but, don't you think that Nick Saban has had all this time to think about what Johnny Manziel, the Johnny Football, and all this crap about the spread offense, hurry-up offense, and all this stuff? Don't you think that has boiled up in his crawl about trying to figure out a way to defeat that type of offense? I really think that he has worked really hard and put a defense in place that's going to take care of that stuff. Because I think Nick Saban's ahead of the curve, and I think he's always looking in the future. And I think this year we're going to see a defense that's going to maul a spread offense or a hurry-up offense. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to agree with you. I still think that A&M is a team that we cannot overlook. Everybody's just taking for granted that this is going to be a blowout. But on paper, I mean, A&M has one of the best offenses in the nation. I talked about this earlier. If Alabama has a weakness, it might be at cornerback. I think we all would agree with that, and there's only a few teams in the nation that can exploit that weakness. And it's going to take a great offensive line, and it's going to take a really good
quarterback. Take a great quarterback.
Yeah, and I think Manziel's still a great quarterback. And
yeah,
he's
I
got
too.
Six receivers. They're all 6'3" or bigger. They really cause some matchup problems. So, of course, the A&M defense might give up 60 a game against a team like Alabama. So, It's going to be an interesting game. I think really a lot will have to do with the fact of how this Johnny Football situation plays out. And a lot of times when you have that kind of controversy in the off season, it has a way of affecting the regular season. Many teams that have come off of great years and then had all kind of problems in the press and in public during the off season, it really tinkles over into your season. So I think Alabama is as prepared as you can be. And the speed at linebacker is just extraordinary for Alabama. C.J. Mosley's the most athletic linebacker in the country. And
I agree.
If anybody can play, if anybody can be prepared for the spread offense, I think it is definitely Nick Saban. I think the key to beating Johnny Manziel is to keep him in the pocket. Kind of put a cocoon around him the way they did Tim Tebow in the SEC championship game a few years ago. You cannot let this guy get out of the pocket. But, I mean, you got Clay Matthews' son down there at left tackle who's going to be a high draft pick in the NFL. You got a great offensive line. You got four outstanding running backs. Brandon Williams, Trey Williams. I mean, they are loaded. Make no mistake about it. Texas A&M is a loaded team on the offensive side of the ball. And when you talk great offenses in the college football now, you have to look at Louisville, A&M. You can even put Alabama in that conversation, possibly Clemson. There are some great offenses out there. But A&M, if the Johnny Football situation works out, this is no doubt. Make no doubt about it, Bama Nation. This is a huge, huge challenge for the University of Alabama and not one that we can take lightly. I do not think this game's a blowout. The line was 6 points when Manziel was expected to be in the game. That game has been taken off the board on Vegas right now due to the fact that they don't know if Johnny Football will play. But if he plays and if he's Johnny Football, this will be a great, great football game, I still believe. But I do believe Alabama's ready. I think the key will we'll have to get pressure on Johnny Manziel. We'll have to let him know we didn't really hit him last year. We didn't really get after him. Now, that's another key to the Alabama season. Rock touched on it earlier. We've got to get some pass rush this year. Adrian Hubbard, expected top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year, 6'6", 245, coming off that edge. We've got to get after him. We've got to get after him. Pagan, Fannin, Stinson, these guys have really got to step up and play a great game that day. But I'm looking forward to it. I love these kind of challenges. This is what college football is all about. I think Saban's been game planning for this game for a whole year. I think we're going to be as prepared as any team in the nation to face that spread offense. To go around the world and answer your question, I think we are prepared. I think we will win this game. But make no mistake about it, Texas A&M and Kevin Sumlin is a team much to be beware of in the SEC West.
Amen to that, Legend. Could I interject something real quick?
Go ahead, Bob.
We did the same thing against Florida. You know, we had a whole year for that grudge to build. And it wasn't Johnny Football, it was Tim Tebow. And we shut him down. Right or wrong?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't have any doubt that Saban's going to have us ready. But, again, I will say that, you know, I'm going to be nervous. And just real quick, I've got a buddy who's trying to sign on so that he can make a call. What is the best way for him to get on the website, the easiest way, so he can tune into our show?
If you want to listen to the show through BAMS, through Blog Talk, just go to BAMSRadio.com.
Yeah, Blog Talk. Okay, what website do I tell him to go to?
Right. If he just goes to BAMSRadio.com, you'll see a Listen Live tab. If he clicks that, I'll do it real quick just to make sure. If he clicks Listen Live.
They're saying he's got to have a Twitter account or something else.
No,
and he's
it shouldn't. No, once you, if you go to BAMS Radio, you click Listen Live, and on the page you'll see upcoming broadcasts, and it says 10 days to kickoff. That's actually our current broadcast. If he clicks that, it will take him
to
where he can listen.
He just told me he figured it out, so I think he's on that. So if he wants to call in, I'll encourage him to. My buddy Paul, just call, what's our number again?
If you want to call, we only have about 15 minutes left, but the number 714-510-3707.
510-3707, Paul, if you're listening.
Hey.
Hey, one thing quick, Rock and Bill and Legend. You know, in the past we've heard the bad thing about Alabama's defense, which have been great, they've been wonderful. It's been the pass rush in the past. You know, I've heard, you know, on some press conferences that Saban has said that he's kind of pretty satisfied this year with the pass rush. I think Ed Stinson's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think he's kind of got that figured out. I think he's got the talent in there that would actually, you know, be able to perform a pass rush this year that will make Alabama fans are proud. What do y'all think?
Well, I'll jump in first. The thing that Nick Saban has been developing, particularly in response to the proliferation of the spread offense, is these quick twitch players. These guys that maybe aren't as big, maybe aren't as wide, particularly on the defensive line. But what you get instead is you get guys that they're just a little more athletic, a little bit, they can make plays in space a little bit better. Well, one of the areas that you're going to see improve because of that is the pass rush. You know, you'll see guys that one-on-one will, at the very least, hold their man even, if not straight up beat them. So I think given the athleticism of who's going to be playing, particularly on the defensive line and the linebackers, you'll see a better pass rush this year. Legend, what about you? What you got? I didn't mean to cut you off if I did.
I didn't get to hear the question. Say the question again.
Oh, just Marty was curious about pass rush. Is there going to be a better pass rush this year? What do you think, just overall?
I think it will. I think, like I said, I look for Fagan and Fannin to have big seasons and Ed Stinson. And I think the key will be on the outside with Dixon and also Hubbard. Like I said, Hubbard is projected as a top 10 NFL talent. I've seen some mock drafts that has him going as high as number 6 in the first round next year.
Wow.
So, I mean, when you're projected to go in the top 10 of the NFL draft, I look for huge things out of you this season. I really do. I think that was an area that Alabama really wanted to concentrate on. It wasn't that Alabama didn't have a good pass rush last year. It's just that they did not have a dominant, like a clowning type force coming off the end or out of that linebacker position. And a lot of times you need that dominant player. And I really think Alabama needs a Hubbard or a Pagan or even a Fan and somebody to really bust out to be a threat for the opposing coaches to have to look at and say that's a clowny type player. It's somebody we're going to have to keep a back end to protect ourselves against. And, you know, Saban loves to bring them safeties up, too, and blitz you at times. And so I think it's going to be a great season. I think we're going to have a great pass rush. Hey, Rock.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get out of here, man. I got a family situation to take care of, but I've really enjoyed Legend Island tonight, man.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun, and we're keeping it going every week. So make sure to join us. With you leaving, I think I'm going to go on a showdown, but, you know, the guys that have stayed on with us, the rest of your panel, do y'all have anything else for us tonight?
I don't know, Legend. What do you want to talk about, buddy?
Hey, I love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. Want to give a shout out to Ava and Angie. They're cooking some cupcakes for everybody tonight, the Cupcake Girls. I also want to give a shout out. I got a chance to go by and eat some Bob Sykes barbecue yesterday.
Here you
and
go.
Really had time talking to
him.
I need
to hang out with you, dude.
I'm telling you.
You know, good free food.
I'm telling you, I got a free meal down at Bob Sykes, and I tell you what, his barbecue is off the hook.
Well,
I mean,
after all,
nice
you are the legend.
But hey, guys, I love you guys. Y'all did a great job tonight. Thanks for being a part of the panel. And man, y'all really rocked it out tonight. You too, Rock.
It was my pleasure. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get us out of here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Absolute
it.
Pleasure.
Bill from Mountain Brook, and we're going to say peace out.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Bill. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
All right, Marty. It was a pleasure to hear your voice twice this evening. It was interesting. I very rarely get callbacks, but we always welcome them. Anyway, I'm going to go in and get us out of here. So, for Legend, all of our dear panelists, all our callers, Kerry Clark, and our members who were not with us tonight, Bird, a little out of the loop, and Blip. Blip should join us soon. Thank you very, very much for listening to this long episode of BAMS Radio. We will be back next week, same crazy time, same crazy place, 8 p.m. on a Wednesday. It'll be a couple days before kickoff, so we're really going to focus in on Virginia Tech and expect the depth chart to be released Monday, so we'll talk that too. Until then, everybody have a great week, great weekend, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.